honorable member, it's good to be with you once more. As we agreed, today we want to get a presentation by our team on the threat plan. After our session in that hotel near Hermana, the team came together to everything they'll be able to present to us so that we can be able to discuss and adopt. So the agenda is before you. Is it okay? Anybody moves? I was looking at the Honorable Manan. You were too fast. She raised her hand and said, I move. Honorable Shopes Tole moves, Honorable Manana second. The agenda is adopted. And any apologies? No? Honorable Kwankwa, UDF, apology. No other apologies? Honorable Sikh?
Chairperson, thanks. I need to leave at 12:30, please.
Any other apology? I also need to attend the VIPAR meeting at campus 12. Okay. I've also received an invitation by the House Chair for a meeting at 12:30. So, we finish at 12? We can do it. We must be businesslike. You know, there was a friend of mine in business who once said to me, you know, in business, we don't discuss a lot of things like you do. Say we just meet, we decide we want to sell our subsidiary worth 800 million. It's a 10-minute meeting. Anybody opposed? None? Okay, agreed. The subsidiary sold. So we're going to be like that. No preambles. Thank you very much, honorable members. I'm told that SEPO is going to make the presentation on behalf of the team, and then we will discuss. No preambles. Okay. We have been joined by Malusi Tolo. Now, you, honorable members, you'll recall he was our facilitator at the threat plan. You remember him? Yeah. So we felt that because he was a facilitator, he should be part of the team in case SEPO wants to smuggle in things that we don't know. We will watch it. Okay, welcome, Mr. Tolo, and you're free to participate, but let's allow SEPO to take us through. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues. I will hit the call, no preambles, but I just make an important one for really to appreciate and thank the team for the meetings that to be called, time had to be made, and the team really pitched up and they made contributions. The people as well, Mr. Dollar as well, has been available all the time when it's been requested to. So just to appreciate and thank the team for that. My presentation essentially is to take the issues as identified in the report back from the planning session and really attempt to operationalize this and turn them into actual activities that the committee will be undertaking in the next 5 months or so. So just to go quickly to the brief of the presentation, just quickly touch on the mandate. I will not spend a lot of time on that. And just to further motivate on why the committee needs an operational plan, and then I'll touch on each of the four main issues identified at the planning session and outline the action plan that responds to those priority issues identified. This is what I took from the presentations made at a meeting, which I believe really serves to reinforce what the committee has made in the meetings we've had since the first meeting we had on the 21st of June, that for this parliamentary term, we would require bold initiatives, creativity, and it should not really be business as usual. And also an important statement by DPME that we need to challenge whether programs are delivering and be prepared to take tough decisions. And this was amplified yesterday by the presentation by Mr. Wilcox, when we refer to the number of incentives that are being currently offered by the state, but decisions need to be made on those programs that are not delivering, that those be funding be redirected away from those programs, and those that are doing quite well be supported even much more. So that really serves to support that. The mandate of the committee, that is straight from the money bills, the committee, of course, in addition to that, is really tasked with the important responsibility of recommending amendments and possibly reallocating funds to ensure allocators' efficiency. That is what we know. It's just to quickly go back, oversight over essentially a trillion rand 2014-15 to going up to 1.166 in 2016-17. This is also taken from the Treasury presentation that was made at the planning session. So essentially what the committee will need to do is to ensure that the allocation of resources to the 14 outcomes will have to give effect to the principles of fiscal sustainability, allocative efficiency, and value for money. So these are the targets that we will have to formulate later on in the strategic plan now. But I'll come back to that so that the difference is understood, operational plan and strategic plan. So why do we need an operational plan? Spending issues essentially cut across the public sphere, the three spheres of the state, and it is not possible for the committee to interrogate and investigate each and every issue. So this really serves to prioritize and for us to be able to decide on what is important. Now I will move to each of the priority issues. I will list it as it appears in the report from the planning session, and then I will list a number of statements from research institutions, from committee meetings that we've had, from state agencies that serve to really amplify what the committee did find in the planning session. And as Chair said, if some amplification or emphasis is not probably as per the committee would have expressed it at a time, maybe some little bit misunderstanding, the committee will be free to just correct that. I will move on to priority issue one. The issue identified by the committee is really the importance of collaboration, proactive oversight, and public participation. And I've listed there just a number of statements really to just reinforce what the committee found in the planning session. Chapter 3 of the Constitution, of course, very important keywords there: coherence, cooperation, mutual trust, and good faith. And also for institutions of the state to promote and facilitate intergovernmental relations. For all of that to be achieved, it is very important that that finds expression in the legislative sphere as well, in the relation between the Committee on Appropriations and the Portfolio Committees, the Committee on Appropriations and the committees from the Council. The PDO also did make a submission on the need to broaden participation, to broaden communication channels. The element of education is very important as well. Now, this is from a meeting of SCOPA that was held last week at the same time as the committee was having a meeting with the FFC, and SCOPA was deliberating on its own strategic plan. And one of the findings that are listed in the document states that there's a need to create sustainable working relations with the Appropriations Committee. So this is a very, very positive thing, because it indicates that other committees of parliament are actually ready and willing to work with the Standing Committee Appropriation. It's a very positive thing. That is, and then just the last comment, I just read it as it is, as I believe it's actually quite well written. A judgment delivered in 2006 on the importance of public participation in the Constitutional Court. All parties interested in legislation should feel that they have been given a real opportunity to have their say, that they are taken seriously as citizens, and that their views matter and will receive due consideration at the moment when they could possibly influence decisions in a meaningful fashion. Now, how do we action this? Before we go there, this is top 10 service delivery complaints from the presidential hotline. This is a very powerful source of information that will be utilized, that will be taken in by the support staff and shared with the committee, as it's one of the tools to really affect the notion of proactive oversight. What is the views of or the concerns that people on the ground have when they call on the hotline and refer to issues and problems that they might have? So it's an important source of information to affect the notion of proactive oversight. There is the action plan. I hope it's clear. But let me just speak to it quickly, and members can stop me if I just need to go back and refer more to a point raised there. An issue identified is collaborative oversight. How will the committee give effect to that? A key output from effecting the key action of collaborative oversight would be possibly joint reports or joint recommendations, possibly joint oversight voices as well, and possibly joint hearings on major risk areas that the committee will identify. And what will be the key activities underpinning this? Of course, we will invite the affected stakeholders to come and brief the committee on those issues that we feel are important. It would also be prudent for support staff who should be able to interact with support staff that support other committees on what are the burning issues there, and be able to bring this to the attention of the committee as well. And issues that possibly we may target as well: education infrastructure. In our report on appropriation deal, we did cite it as a key concern. Water services infrastructure, as it appears on the slide before this, on the hotline complaint, it is a key issue that citizens have really concerns about. SCOPA reports as well as reports from the NCOP. In this term, how are we going to give effect to collaborative oversight? The suggestion is that yesterday we did hear that there are issues or there are concerns regarding the rollout of the education infrastructure. There's already a meeting scheduled with the Department of Education A possible suggestion is that we do invite the Select Committee on Appropriations to join us as we interrogate the performance of the school's infrastructure program. So that is a possible action we can take now. On the operational objective, proactive oversight, which is also a key output of that, would be, of course, it disseminate reports to the House and possibly share with other committees as well. Proactive oversight, one of the things would entail what we heard yesterday from the first quarter expenditure report when the question was posed to Mr. Simmons that where are the risk areas? So the answers to responses like that, then the committee is able to act on the findings made in the quarterly expenditure briefings from National Treasury and from other departments that we would invite. We did have the FFC a week ago. A number of issues were raised there, one of which came out strongly was the need for possibly the establishment of transitional conditional grants, as in the past, the process of demarcation had found a lot of municipalities in a rather dire financial situation. The committee is aware of that. It's something we can pursue further, and I'm hoping that even by the MTDPS, the FFC will be invited again to expand a little more on this issue and possibly make recommendations for this MTDPS going forward, and then we'll track the issue after that. Another example there, NSFAS and student funding. We do know in January this issue comes a lot. Access to higher education. Now, especially because it's not so, should I say, hot in the media, it's an opportune time to call them. We can possibly do this after the September recess. And call in the University of Higher Education and NSFAS and really try to unpack that. What is it that can be done in that regard? And in the planning session, the Statistics South Africa was there. They did alert us to the products they offer. We can call them as well together with the NSFAS so that there is an appreciation of what are the possible numbers that the higher education sector will be facing next year and possibly 5 years from now, and what's the response by NSFAS and the higher education sector regarding the trends observed in those numbers. So those are all possible and doable and will be factored in the program. We'll see what the time constraints and limitations time constraints and limitations, but they are all can be incorporated in the program for this term and the next term just before the MTDPS. Public participation is being raised consistently since June in almost every committee meeting that we've held. It is important that we get the public involved in the business of the committee. A possible suggestion is to conduct the MTDPS, but because there are the real-time constraints with respect to the MTDPS, it might not be possible, but definitely for the appropriation bill for next year, given that we do have the 4 months, it would be an idea to really go out there on site when we conduct hearings for the appropriation bill in 2015. And they have included just examples. We could be in Midupi or in the school halls where the education infrastructure program is being rolled out. So those are just examples. And in addition to that, the way we engage with stakeholders as well, it's quite important in a sense that, as the first slide indicated, then there needs to be an element of creativity and innovation in how we conduct the business of Parliament in this term. We have in the past issued invites and posted ads in the Sunday newspapers and so on that speak to the MTVPS. And the responses we get from that, it's very limited. So it's possible that an innovative idea could be that, especially in partnership with the media unit here at Parliament, that just before the MTVPS itself, through the chairperson, of course, we partner with the public education unit and make statements explaining exactly what the MTVPS is and what the role of the Appropriations Committee is with regards to the MTVPS. Another suggestion is that stakeholders come to the Committee of Finance, go to other committees as well. It most likely will not be inappropriate for us to just send a not an invite, an alert specified to those stakeholders who have come to the other committees of finance in particular, because a lot of the stakeholders who come to the Committee of Finance actually make recommendations that should they would be in better place within the committee on within the Committee of Appropriations. So it's possible there is a not so clear understanding on what the standing of Standing Committee on Finance does and what the Standing Committee on Appropriation does. So that's also another suggestion. I'll move on now to priority issue two. From the session, the committee identified that it's very important that really the relationships that we establish with the stakeholders, those are strengthened, and we increase collaboration with the FFCs and those stakeholders in the execution of our oversight function, and also the issue of capacity as well as raised is quite critical in ensuring that we are ready to execute this mandate. What I've included there is just a quote from the oversight model document adopted in 2011, which defines what, which really just says what stakeholders are, but in this case, for our purpose, we also include, on top of institutes, experts, NGOs, and CBOs, we include also portfolio committees and the committees of the council. And just a small bullet there, it's important, of course, we understand the business of the stakeholders. Linked to that is the proposal for an oversight visit to National Treasury, DPME, and possibly other stakeholders are time willing, of course, and that these really need to be strengthened further. And strengthened further, one area that we can look at is the timing of our invites. For example, in the appropriation bill hearings, we did issue an invite to the PPSC. In the presentation they made to the committee, did indicate that they could have done actually a lot more, but it's just that they did not have time because they received the invite so late. And similarly for the planning session itself, stakeholders did get an invite, official invite, just a week before, which is also due to administration challenges within Parliament itself, but it means something that will need to be addressed by the committee, because it is important we get invitations to our stakeholders on time, that they are able to prepare, and that really enriches the input that we will get as a committee. The issue of capacity as well, the money bills is in place. The power of the purse lies with Parliament, but it is important that Parliament also has the necessary capacity to be able to make informed decisions. And I'll just add on to the element of capacity as well, just another dimension to that. The World Bank, they do recommend that strengthening efforts in terms of building capacity within Parliament should be seen as complements to related governance improvements. So this essentially means that there have been reforms pronounced in the budget this year, that the reporting of state-owned entities and public entities will be implemented. There is work being done by the Chief Procurement Office to change some of the reporting and standards that relate specifically to the areas of procurement. There are new reporting and planning requirements for infrastructure. So as these reforms are being rolled out, it is also very important for the community to be capacitated in these reforms, which will enable for effective oversight as ministries brief the community on the implementation and challenges that they are experiencing. They may be able to advise much more meaningfully. And these are included in the training calendar, which you're going to see just now on the next slide. How do we action these areas identified by the committee? One, stakeholder partnership enhancement. A key issue is stakeholders being made aware of what the committee requires on time. If there is nothing preventing us from issuing a preliminary invite to the stakeholders that we met at the planning session, HSRC, FFC, STATS SA, even PSC, that details, that just gives a brief outline of the issues that we'd be interested in. And one issue which we would definitely be interested in is to ensure economy efficiency effectiveness in what the minister will be tabling in October. So that invitation can go out to those stakeholders now, and we can just indicate to them that in addition, we might later also add on one or two areas that we are particularly interested in. There isn't anything that prevents us from doing that. The EEE, there is just the economy efficiency effectiveness. And also, for example, transitional grants, we have identified it as an issue. We can issue an invite now to the FSC. And yesterday we did have a briefing from National Treasury on expenditure for the first quarter. What we also need to incorporate in our program is quarterly briefings from the CPME on non-financial information, as that is very important so that we can link effectiveness of the expenditure. The other issue identified by the committee, strategic capacity building for the committee and staff. That's really the output would really be documents that are informed and that are much more meaningful. In the program for the second term and the third term just before the MTPS, it is very important before the MTPS is tabled that the committee undergoes training on documentation and that will be tabled during that time. It also helps support staff as well. I've done this budget for some time, but it always helps to go back and understand again what are fireman's, what's the difference between fireman's and shifts, and how would you look for a fireman and so on. So that training is quite important as the MTOP is tabled together with the budget adjustment. And fireman's and shifts are very important as these essentially mean that funds have shifted and essentially mean that the execution of programs either has shifted, has declined, or there are maybe even areas of excellence. So it's very important to understand what informs the shift and be able to recommend accordingly. And in the Money Bills Act, it does allow that probably other committees will approach the committee if they have issues or concerns regarding a environment or a shift within their particular vote, and a committee should be ready to advise accordingly on that. So that is to be slotted in just before the MTPS. And the suggestion was that this can possibly be done together with the oversight versus to the M2 when you go look at the system, the early warning system that the Treasury has on that oversight versus, and then we can have the capacity building session as well. Strategic capacity again, after the MTPS, when possibly things are a little more relaxed, it's an opportune time for training and capacity building as well. We can embark on the training on enhancing oversight over state entities and training on effective infrastructure oversight, basically to be able to answer questions such as when should tenders be issued, how long does it take to build a school, it takes 18 months. So when a department comes in September and says they've just issued a tender, clearly it's a problem. Enhancing oversight strategies. Okay, we just obtained additional input for our first quarter expenditure reports from my colleagues. Priority issue 3. Strengthening the budget framework reform proposals with the assistance of the PBO. So, the concern from the report on the planning session highlighted was that does the money bill accord Parliament with enough time with a role and ability to influence the budget table by the does the money bill give effect to that? And also the focus in the allocation of resources has been on the providing for the social sector services, but we really need to also consider how we can use the budget to elevate the growth trajectory of the country. So some statements I've taken there just to further reinforce the point. The presentation by the House Chair at the planning session did highlight the concerns raised in the previous term of Parliament on time frames. And this is a quote from the FFC meeting, actual quote from the actual minutes of the committee that were adopted yesterday. The committee emphasized that given the current macroeconomic outlook, state funding and thus appropriations needed to respond to the economic challenge and ensure spending supports economic growth and development so as to improve the growth trajectory of the country. And then there's just another quote from the FSC on the importance of treasuries and for treasuries to ensure that capital budgets in the local governments here aren't realistic and are financed and the decision thereof is based on actual capacity to deliver. The last quote there is just something for the committee to think about, given from the report it says that there were concerns about the number of grants in the system, whether that really helps in terms of enhancing delivery or not. From the FFC conference that was held 2 weeks ago, there was a paper presented by one of the commissioners, Tanya, and she was really concerned about the functions that were allowing provinces to execute. And then she states as follows here, sector-specific policy decisions by national sector departments which have had a cumulative effect of hollowing out the role and sphere of influence of provincial governments. For example, the FET function shifted to the Department of Higher Education, the housing function, which will be shifted to the metros, public transport and land use planning will be shifted to the metros, centralized procurement with the procurement of large goods and services items will be centralized and done at a national level, and also the increase in indirect grants. So the main concern is that are these decisions giving effect to a IGFR system that really supports better planning and better delivery. So it's just something that the committee, I'm sure, will grapple with. Now, how do we action this? For reforms on the money bill, I believe it will also be important that the chairpersons of the four committees, I'm sure they will make time and deliberate on what needs to happen, as there is also, I understand, a process underway on reforming the Money Bills Act. And I'm sure, as we've just said, the Appropriation Bill, it gives experience to the members as well as to what are the challenges referred to. And I'm sure also experience gained from the MTBPS and the adjustments will help. And I'm sure it will really gain momentum in 2015 on what needs to happen with the current Money Bills Act. Budgeting for economic growth and development. How do we appropriate for economic growth? And how do we carry that message through in the outputs and reports that the committee will be disseminating to the House? And what will the committee be doing in these 4 months to give effect to that? One area already that we've looked at, we know infrastructure is a critical driver of economic growth. The PITC is scheduled. It will be coming to brief the committee, and we'll follow up on that on the program that they are implementing, and really see where can you assist in terms of effectiveness, as a lot of resources are allocated towards the infrastructure program. The committee is, of course, economic growth, employment is also a key component of that, and a key driver by the state of employment is EPWP. It's also scheduled in the first quarter expenditure hearings, and we should get an update on that. And a suggestion for the term after the research period is to also, and this issue was raised yesterday, is to also just to track and check on the status of progress in terms of the jobs fund. And I've included the amount allocated for industrial policy in 2014-15, 10.6 billion rand. That is something, of course, that the committee will have to track and monitor in terms of the effectiveness of the 10.6 billion rand. And possibly detain others may come and join the committee. We may invite them in the MTBPS period as well to make inputs. Enhancing oversight strategies. This really serves to say that as the committee has briefings and issues are raised, it is always in our advantage for those issues that the committee feels strongly about to reinforce the data ideas and further really to entrench ideas, or maybe not unentrenched ideas that the committee will have on a possible action that they would like to take. For example, the grant system, the committee was concerned about that, and it's important that we get an appreciation of exactly where the problems are, which ones are doing well, which ones are not doing well. That can also be scheduled just before the MTBPS. And also on some of the recommendations that the FFC made in the submission for the 15-16 Division of Revenue. And now I come to the last core issue that the committee raised from the planning session. And this speaks to leadership, management capacity, and the performance of heads of department / accounting officers. Just underneath that, there's a definition on what oversight is. Okay, I'll just read it as it's stated there. Oversight, most importantly, it entails overseeing the effective management of government departments by individual members of the relevant executive authority in pursuit of improved service delivery for achievement of a better quality of life. accountability refers to institutionalized practices of giving account of how assigned responsibilities are carried out. Why this definition is important? In many instances, oversight is collapsed together with monitoring. Monitoring is just a component of oversight. To go on oversight versus it is fine to oversee the expenditure per patterns, it is okay. But a very important component of oversight is accountability. As accounting officers have specific responsibilities that they need to execute, it is the responsibility of Parliament in particular to ensure that those responsibilities are carried out. So that is very key. Some of the findings from the 12-13 audit outcomes. Okay, let me just state that underneath this issue of leadership management capacity, the committee was also very concerned about planning in departments and that there are real deficiencies there and we need to focus on that. So that is the finding from the latest AG report and what it says. It says that 80% of departments in the education, health, and public works had material findings on their APPs. What does it mean to have material findings on your APP? It means that the APPs contain, it means that those APPs do not contain information that is useful or reliable, and it is a sign of weakness in the ability of the auditees to adequately plan, manage, and report on their performance. And thus, also in addition to that, affects our ability to effectively execute oversight. There's a very, very, very important issue raised by DPME in terms of how we can ensure that the departments attain their targets, the quality of HR management. They did do a statistical analysis. They did make findings regarding that, and they found that where HR management is strong and is functioning, it is responsible for departments achieving at least 80% of targets in their APP. And this really serves to further support the analysis in the NDP that the main challenge to building a capable and developmental state has been the unevenness in capacity that leads to uneven performance, which leads to the statement made yesterday in the committee as well, that the challenge fundamentally relates to capacity of the state including the three spheres of governance and the entities. How do we action this? Before I go to the action, I'm just going to touch on understanding the definition of oversight into a little more detail. The expectation in terms of assurance to be provided by the different levers in the institutions of the state. And by the state, I really mean the executive, parliament, judiciary, civil society, and citizens in general. There are certain expectations and things that need to happen that enable each of them to execute oversight effectively. The first level of assurance. Senior management, accounting officers, the executive authority. Senior management is expected to take immediate action if there are problems with regards to internal control systems, financial management systems, and the operational environment of the entity. Accounting officers should hold senior management accountable. Executive authorities to enforce accountability and consequences. And I'll make some findings regarding each of these, the status thereof, currently, the status now. The second level of assurance is the Treasury, DPSA, who are there to make sure that departments do comply with laws and regulations. internal audit to make sure that management does follow up on recommendations that they should effect, and the audit committee to really monitor the implementation of commitments on corrective action made by management. You would remember yesterday when Mr. Simmons was giving some of the replies and particular questions were asked on particular portfolios, and he was very careful and rather referred the questions to the votes themselves. And Matthew Simmons is in the second level of assurance, so he does, the unit that is responsible does have a little much more information regarding the department and the performance thereof. But still, there is an indication that it's a little more complex and detailed than that, and the information that they may have is not always very clear in terms of what exactly is happening in the entity. And the information is always much more clearer. Of course, we expect it from the first level assurance, senior management, accounting officer, and executive authority. So this just really shows how complex government is. The third level of assurance, it is the Standing Committee on Appropriations together with the other committees of Parliament to review strategic plans and APP and to exercise specific oversight on specific issues on a regular basis. An external audit could be the South African Human Rights Commission. Recently, they have a report out on the implementation of a school's infrastructure program that serves as an input as well in the oversight responsibility of the third level of assurance. And at this level, really, the important aspect there is to really hold officials accountable to those responsibilities that they've been assigned for. And this now leads to a statement made by the PBO in the planning session, which is this. That first line there that speaks to context. The Parliamentary Budget Office at the planning session, it states that the committee cannot itself directly assess value for money. We have to rely on information from the Treasury, from DPME, from FFC, and reports of other state entities. If that is the case, let us just note this findings made by the AG in the 2012-13 report. The first level assurer, which is the top management of departments, what does the AG find there? On the second bullet, I'll just read it out. There's a need to strengthen the first level of assurance. SMS has to implement the basic financial and performance management controls. 68% of auditees internal controls were a cause for concern. Top management at 68% of auditees provided only some limited or no assurance at all. Key concern. The accounting officer said only 30% of departments provided, at only 30% of departments provided the required level of assurance. And almost half of the executive authorities do not yet have a direct input. But the positive part of this is that the AG found that where the executive authority is active and engages and meets with them regularly, there is a significant improvement in the audit outcomes. Another finding, the second level assurer, which is the internal audit, the finding is that internal audit units only 28% of departments provided the required level of assurance compared to those 40% of public entities. So departments are doing much worse compared to public entities. And some of the recommendations in the AG's report are that the portfolio committees provided only some level of assurance and that the committees were left to seriously consider institutionalizing joint committee hearings, and the frequent monitoring of the adequacy of responses from the department, and that there is a need for centralized planning of committee activities at House Chairperson level in order to enhance collaboration. How will we action these key issues identified by the committee? In terms of planning and policy alignment, the suggestion is that in the MTPPS that you're going to have now, inputs will be sourced on DPME and DPSA and NT on the status in terms of the planning environment of the state. And hopefully we'll be able to recommend and something quite tangible that the committee will be able to track, that for the next 5 years, this is the status that we found at that stage, and what are the changes that have been happening year by year. So that is a possible action that we can take now. Enhancing leadership capacity of executive authorities, accounting officers. The PSC did, Public Service Committee did present to the committee some, even in the planning session, I believe, and some time ago as well, that the performance agreements with the HODs remains a problem. And also they highlighted the importance of leadership with respect to attaining performance targets. Given the very significant impact of having HR systems in place, having performance management systems in place, having performance agreements of HODs in place, it is possible that the committee in this MTPS can add a supplementary report that speaks to only this area, given that it contributes in the analysis done by DPME to departments achieving more than 80% of targets. And achieving more than 80% of targets gives effect to effectiveness, efficiency, economies, the key concerns of the committee. So it's possible if this issue, the committee feels it's important enough to warrant probably a special mention outside of the MCPS report. there can be a supplementary report, and I did consult, just briefly consult with the legal services. They said it's possible if it's something you'd like to do. So it's something that the committee can consider as well. So now that we have an operational plan in place, we've had the planning session, and we're going to implement. And then what happens now with regards to planning for the committee? I'll just quickly speak to those, to the way going forward. What happens now? The week after the committee had the planning session, the government, there was a press conference, and the medium-term strategic framework for 2014 to 2019 was tabled. What is the MTSF? The MTSF is the mechanism through which all five-year strategic plans and annual plans of the 3 spheres of government are being aligned to the NDP and made to pull in the same direction. Some of the targets contained in the MTSF include investment rate, 25% of GDP, public sector investment, 10% of GDP, an additional 10,000 megawatts of electricity, increasing employment and reducing unemployment to 14%, increasing the share of household income of the poorest 60% of households to 10%, increasing R&D to 1%, 1.5% of GDP. And in addition to the tabling of the MTSF, Parliament has also begun its own institution-wide planning process, and it is envisaged that its strategy plan will be tabled on 10 October 2014. So what does that all mean? The committee now has a operational plan, which is essential activities which give effect to the issues identified from the planning session held. A positive aspect of that, now we already have a database that will be maintained by the committee support staff on who our main stakeholders are. The draft strategic plan that was distributed that was shared with the committee before the planning session will now include the planning session report and will include this operational plan, and this will serve as the guiding framework of the committee in the coming months. We've got the stakeholders in place, and we've got a framework that is underpinned by those important things there: collaboration, partnerships, accountability, and public participation. What next? The committee will also implement the operational plan and note key learnings and experiences as we implement the operational plan. The committee will finalize the 5-year stress plan in January, and this will include the MTSF, Parliament Strategic Plan, key learnings from execution or implementation of the committee operational plan. And it is envisaged that the final strategic planning session will be on the issues. Government's 14 priority outcomes, how do we ensure that the resources allocated give effect to the EEEs, and at the same time, the targets contained in the MTSF are achieved. Okay, this is just something for the members and all of us to just absorb. And actually, I'm about to reach the end. There is a quick note on some of the issues raised yesterday, but it's not linked to the operational plan. It's information sharing. I just request at the end just to quickly speak to them. 2 minutes. Thanks, Chair.
Which one you want to speak to later?
I can do it now. It's just to highlight the thinking behind infrastructure and industrial policy.
Okay, do that.
Okay. Yesterday, Chairperson asked a question to Mr. Simmons that which areas, especially the large infrastructure projects, which are the risk areas? And Mr. Simmons gave a slightly unexpected. Department of Justice is a key risk area, and also the Department of Police. And the normal expectation would normally be water services or schools infrastructure or even health. So for water services, at least I know the spending for last year was 100%, so that is a good thing. And for health and education, there are still challenges there. But what I'd like to just show to the committee is really how is this infrastructure delivered within the 3 years of the state. Infrastructure expenditure per vote. The total of that is 102 billion rands, and that those are the allocations per each of the votes. I just quickly refer to each of the. Oh. My apologies for that. I just speak to each of the highlighted ones, as the committee today was particularly interested in expenditure on infrastructure where it's above a billion at least. For COCTA, 14 billion That amount is essentially municipal infrastructure grant, water, sanitation, community lighting, roads, and that is a transfer to local government. Basic education, the 8 billion, it's two grants, schools infrastructure backlogs grant, and also the schools education infrastructure program implemented by the provinces. Both of them, both the 8 billion is also essentially a transfer. Similarly, with the 5.471 billion for health, is two components, the health revitalization facility grant. There's a component that's implemented by the national department. There's another component implemented by the provincial, by the provinces. So half of that is also a transfer. Higher education, 2 billion in infrastructure, is also essentially a transfer to universities. Key component there are the two universities in Northern Cape and Mpumalanga, and also transfers to universities for refurbishment of the architecture and health sciences faculties. And the budget, the ENE states that this allocation, it prioritizes the historically disadvantaged universities. For defense and military spend by the department itself, it's spent at a national level. It's for facilities, medical facilities, and refurbishment of military facilities. For justice and constitutional development, the 1 billion there is essentially for the building of courts. There are new courts being built in Kagiso, in Gauteng, Polokwane High Court, and Mpumalanga High Court. Those are projects that are currently underway, so that is what the allocation refers to there. For energy, the 3.575 billion rand is for the integrated national electrification program. The funding there is actually a transfer. It's a transfer to ESCOM and to municipalities for the upgrading and building of substations and electrical networks. For human settlements, the 26 billion is a number of components. There's of course a direct human settlement development grant which goes to provinces directly. There's the urban settlement development grant which goes to metros. There's the RIG which goes to municipalities. RIG stands for Rural Household Infrastructure Grant. So that breaks down the 26 billion rand. For trade and industry, the DTI, it is spent at a national level as well, and the expenditure there is to the industrial development zones, Kuha, East London, Saldanha Bay, OR Tambo, the refurbishment thereof and upgrading thereof. That is what the expenditure relates to there. For transport, the 26 billion rand referred to there is 8 billion goes to SANRAL, 10 billion goes to PRASA, and 5 or so billion goes to the provincial roads maintenance grant. And there's another allocation, although it is small for this year, for the PRASA purchase of new rolling stock, but it picks up in the outer years. So those are essential transfers as well. Water affairs, big projects they are working on, the Warp Dam, Nandoni, Clan, Williams, and a whole host of other dams across the country, essentially. And that expenditure is also essentially a transfer to some of the water boards and water service authorities. So that 102 billion, yes, it's voted for in the national votes. If you go to the next slide, you'll just see where the yellow is. It just says infrastructure transfers. So the total amount of 101 billion is essentially transfers. So it just serves to illustrate that the oversight responsibility of the committee will involve, a large component of it will entail IGFR relations between the provinces and the national sphere, relations between local governments and the other spheres, and the relations between the public entities that report to the specific votes and how they execute the mandate of the departments to which they report to. That's for infrastructure. For industrial policy, it's just for really the committee to just see there's another set of infrastructure. This is even more, but all this information is from the budget review. Just underneath the yellow part, it just says national departments, how much are they allocated of the total 252 billion rand spent every year on infrastructure. National departments, very small component. Provincial departments, much larger. Local government, 55.2. I apologize for that. Public entity, 16.4. And of course, the biggest component goes to public enterprises, 1 to 4.8. That's for 13-14. I'll just quickly, just to illustrate. Yesterday, when Mr. Wilcox was talking about government support for industrial policy, just for the committee to get an exact picture of what does this mean, those are the amounts allocated for SMMEs, provincial investment agencies. The big allocation, manufacturing development incentives, 3 billion rand. The automotive component, it is a part of that, manufacturing development incentives. The interest of the committee in this case, I'm sure, should be what are we getting in return of the funds that are spent there. And this, okay, it's not clear. I'll just leave it. This is non-financial information from the DTI on incentive program, the number of enterprises they are supporting. What is positive from what is there is that the numbers are increasing, albeit slowly. So it's something that we'll make time to track. And also, of course, the committee does look for growth, but also employment is an important component of that. The largest increases, the Minister of Finance this year and last year, the MTVPS, did indicate that every municipality by 2016 will have a community work program. The increase there over the MTF, 28.9%. So it's something that the committee will monitor and ensure that the program succeeds. Another large, big program there is the environmental programs, which essentially deals with wetlands, maintaining wetlands, biodiversity, and utilizing the EPWP programs in ensuring that the people are employed in those programs. There's also the jobs fund, and it's finished. That is all I wanted to illustrate here with those industrial policy and infrastructure. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any additions from the team? That's all. You are fine. Okay. Yes, Bridget?
Thank you, Chair.
Just press your thing here.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to make a note on priority one in terms of the expenditure reports on the action plan. We, in terms of the target areas, TEPO has mentioned the education, infrastructure, water services and all. And I think that in terms of expenditure reports and inviting departments to account, perhaps also the committee could consider departments that whose mandate impact directly on the economy and economic growth, and especially if those departments are not spending accordingly. I think an example in the first quarter would be COFTA, for example, who's that? They spent 1% of their budget, and 82% of that was current expenditure. They implement quite a significant portion of the expanded public works program, and I think that part of the community work program falls under COFTA. And that impacts directly on job creation, which is a problem in the economy. So, you know, in terms of maybe it's just this quarter that COFTA, there are blocks, but I think that it's important to see where the blocks are. And also, if you look at the Department of Energy, I think the Medupi plant that Tsepo mentioned has been a problem for a while, and it the Department of Energy oversees that, and they also understand. Water Affairs understand, Human Settlements understand. And those are departments that I think have a direct bearing on economic growth, on employment creation, and on poverty alleviation. Another department that would be worth looking at would be public enterprises in terms of Eskom. And electricity, and that also impacts on municipalities, because municipalities buy electricity from Eskom and then sell it. So I think that maybe the committee could identify what is the significance of the department in terms of economic growth, because the economy is a problem at the moment. And maybe just facilitating a process of oversight over those departments. But I also think that would possibly need to involve other committees in terms of collaboration, because portfolio committees do oversee these committees and they have the information. So I think that current issues should also be considered when the committee thinks about which departments to actually call in. Thanks. Yeah.
Any other additions? I guess also that reference on those targets was not meant to be exhaustive, to allow the committee to chop and change, and also I think the reference infrastructure would cover a lot of some of those that you are mentioning. Any addition before I allow the honourable members to comment from the team? You are fine. Dolo, you are happy. You are smiling. Okay, honourable members, that's the presentation before us. Let me open for your comment and questions so we can discuss it. Who wants to be first? You're also happy? Okay, honourable thing.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, I'm happy with the report. I like the information supplied again. We get useful information to the committee, so I think we are well supported. So it helps us to ask questions. And I'm now going to refer specifically to the findings of the AG for 2013, the audit report. And those findings are quite disturbing. We've been talking and receiving information from since we've had our first meeting in this report, and I would like us And in reference to your one of your questions in the first meeting we had was, what do we do about it? I think we need to start doing something about it, because, I mean, if you look at, for example, only 28% of departments provide the required level of assurance, and 40% of public entities, you know, all these findings, I mean, without repeating this, I think action needs to be taken now, and I would like us to really start getting out of the office and start doing what we should be doing and making an impact on to ensure that the citizens of the country get better service delivery.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Sik. We need to start doing work now that we have our plan. I think already, if you look at our draft program that we circulated, we're already streamlining a number of departments that we want to engage with around these issues, including what we have seen yesterday with National Treasury, which departments underspent last year. We want to check what's happening this year. I think, except for that information that you were dealing with at the end, will be very useful to send to all the members, where you are saying this amount going to human settlement infrastructures for this and that, so that we have a sense. Because sometimes if you just deal with figures and say, you know, it's 5 billion, but I think that's useful, that breakdown, or you can send it to us or also indicate where members can see those in the budget review or other documents, so that when they come, we're able to engage exactly on those specific areas. It will also help us which project do we want to visit and why. And once we have seen there is no progress here, and these are the amounts allocated last year, this year, because the good thing with the MTF is that you can see over the next 3 years. So some of those areas where we have great concern, actually huge monies are allocated in the outer years. So you can see, I mean, Sepo was showing there that in fact almost all of them is an increase. So if they can't spend now, it means there's trouble in the outer years. So we need to deal with them now to be able to ensure that we push others. Resources need to be realigned and reallocated where they can be used to benefit people. Any other comment, Honorable McLaughlin?
Thank you, Chair. On the table that's headed Top 10 Service Delivery Complaints, just on a lighter note, I noted with interest under Ministry that birth is one of the complaints. I don't know why people are complaining to the Ministry about birth. It did raise a question in my mind, but never mind. It's not really my comment. I was just, it interested me, this table, but I thought it would have been of more use to us if we could have had a column headed municipalities, because after all, it's municipalities where the service delivery happens to a great extent, and yet we haven't looked at that element here, because I think this would give us a good indication as to where our oversight should be focused as well. For example, water for household use, sanitation, refuse and sewage does appear under province. It appears on the national list as well. It doesn't appear under presidency or the ministry, which is not really surprising, seeing as in the previous term there wasn't a ministry of water and sanitation as such as we now have. But I would imagine that if we had a column here headed municipalities, it would be very high on the list, as would things like roads, electricity, and housing, because strangely enough, housing comes up at municipalities all the time, although it's not a municipal competency, but that's where the complaints are received all the time. And I would just ask if maybe we could just try and factor that into our thinking as well, particularly in terms of plan of action going forward and oversight visits and calling for reports and so on. Thank you, Chair.
But electricity refers to billing. In this table, or is there a need for people who don't have electricity at all? What is it?
Oh, thanks, Chair. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. This is just the. But I suspect it has to do with substations upgrading there of and provision.
It would be very interesting if there is no complaint about billing. but I think the point is right that maybe we should separate. Although I see there you have Lam province and municipality, or the table is done that way. But I think what Honorable McLaughlin is saying, that it would be good to see what specific issues are referenced to local government. And I'm sure billing will come somewhere there. I suspect that electricity might include that problem, because a lot of areas are, in fact, electrified. So it not may not be so much access to electricity, but might be the cost thereof and the issues which have to do with problems of building, etc. And theft. Yeah, when people steal cables, they obviously they will inconvenience people. Any other comment from the committee on the program? Honorable Shopton?
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to TSEPO for a very, very, very understandable information and summary of our work at the planning. But TSEPO, I just want you to, when you write, you know, you kept on saying council, and I wasn't sure whether you mean a municipal council or the NCOP, or you mean the provincial council of the Western Cape. So you just stick to the known, because it's going on record. And on the you said last year there were invitations on Sunday papers. You see, this is a deliberate exclusion of the rural communities, because where I come from, nobody in my neighbor buys a Sunday paper. They listen to community radio. They don't have the money to do that. And we must be conscious as Parliament that we are dealing with issues that the executive has already raised as challenges of the country. Unemployment, illiteracy, and poverty. So whatever we do, we must always bear that in mind, that there are poor people in this country. There is inequality, and we need to empower. So if we put our adverts on Sunday newspaper, even on daily papers, that is a sure strategy to exclude the rural folks. The other one is we talked. You actually said appropriation for economic growth and spending for growing the economy. So if our aim is that, if we are monitoring and doing oversight on these issues, we should actually monitor that. You know, those departments, they have got SMEs that they owe money for years. 30-day principle. We should make sure that every department sticks to the 30-day principle, because it's very serious. These small SMEs, they offer jobs, which is our challenge. And when they are not paid, there is automatic retrenchment, and there is nullification of what has been done. the growing of the economy, because they cease to exist. So this is very serious. So we should have it on our agenda for every municipality, for every province, for every department. They must not default on that one. And maybe the last one is... No, I will think of the other one later, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I want to support the request, or maybe it should be, we should use a stronger word than request, enforce rather, the departments to stick to that principle. But in our previous presentations, we've seen there are also reasons why they cannot stick to those that 30-day principle. So maybe what we should do is to assist those SMMEs who fail or cannot provide the proper information as well. Maybe that's also something that we need to look at.
Maybe what we can do, when we do public hearings, we should also encourage people to write to us to state their issues. Because sometimes departments say no, SMMEs don't give them the required documents, when in fact they do. And some civil servants lose these documents and then they send them to and fro. So we can encourage them that, fine, if a department says yes, we are sticking to 30 days, we'll be able to say if there are people working with that department who have problems, they must write to us and say, I've been doing this work, I've not been paid, I've supplied all the documents. So we can be able to say to the DG, but these people have complied. Why are they not being paid? So I think it's a very important thing, because it happens throughout government, in provinces, everywhere. And it is this small, medium enterprises that get out of business because they are not being paid. So I think it's something that we would have to be part of our oversight work to enforce, Honorable Fick is saying. Any other comments? Okay. You have remembered. Okay.
Thanks. The other one is the 10.6 billion on industrial policy. We need to call the Department of IGT, because you know they keep on writing nice stories about this industrial policy. They are not monitoring. They are not implementing. And we must put a stop to this poesy. We are sick and tired of poetry. We want industrialization to actually happen. We want beneficiation to actually happen. And we need to be assured that the heads of departments are actually monitoring the implementation of this. Because they've got money. We have allocated 10 billion. We can't put 10 billion for them to put in a bank. If we want to save money, we know where to put it ourselves.
Okay. No more preambles, no more poetry. We want action. Honorable Kabas.
Yeah, Chair, just on infrastructure, I wanted to remind ourselves to sharpen this area, that it's not just the question of putting up the new infrastructure, but also the balance between the putting up the new infrastructure and maintenance of existing infrastructure. Because whether you are talking water service infrastructure or road infrastructure, is critical that we maintain, especially at the level of municipalities. I can tell you that untarred roads in rural areas are better maintained than the tarred roads in the townships. And I think there is a problem there. We need to strike this balance in this expenditure in between putting up new infrastructure and maintaining at the local level. But the second area that I want to talk to as well, which has been raised, the 30 days payment. I think that part of the problem is lack of proper use of IT infrastructure by departments. And that's why they will not have this paper and that other paper in the next paper, because they are not putting this information into IT, which they have. And so find easy excuses to say, well, this person did not submit all the necessary the papers, and that's why we are still waiting. When in fact they can record those things, even if they lose the file, they still have those things in their IT system. So that's one area that we need to emphasize in dealing with this question. On the issue of DTI and beneficiation, I think there is one area that we need to note. I'm not sure whether we can deal with that. I suppose it's not within our mandate, especially when you talk about the issue of beneficiation. I want to relate an incident where when we were serving in that committee with Comrade Shopper-Sitot, we met the mining houses, and we kept on harping on this question of beneficiation in mining in particular. And they told us very arrogantly that it's not their business to develop the manufacturing sector in mining. Their business is to dig out and ship out. Simple as all that. So, and I'm certain that there is no funds that have been given by DTI, particularly to mining, as incentives. A lot of incentives of the DTI go to the manufacturing sector, the automotive industry, the clothing and textile, and other sectors, but not necessarily mining. That's one area that's a bit tricky, and I don't know that we can really deal with that part.
Okay. Let me just make a comment on priority issue number 4. We can all go to that. Strengthening the leadership and management capacity of departments and entities, in particular performance of accounting officers. I'm just thinking that I think we have a much, much bigger problem than that. Basically here we are talking about the capacity of the state. We can talk about all the monies, everything, but if the state has no capacity, we are in trouble. So I want to suggest that we broaden what we want to look at there. It's one thing to look at performance of accounting officers insofar as they are assessed or not assessed, but for me that's not really a big issue. The big issue is that we have the state that has capacity to perform, and that is much, much bigger than HODs. It means we must have people who have skills right throughout the public service, so we need to check that. Secondly, where there are vacancies to perform particular duties are those they can be fulfilled on time. So we are going to have to look at those things because accounting officers may as well be performing, but maybe they are not assessed. It's really a compliance issue, but whether they are assessed or not, do we have the right people with the right skills? Are the vacancies filled? Are they being trained? So I think we need, if the team can just relook at what we want to look at there. I know that when you say in particular performance of HODs, it might be that you are really selecting one of the issues, but we need to unpack them, because at the end of the day, we are going to come back to this issue again and again. Remember yesterday when National Treasury was there, they were beginning to say, well, sometimes it doesn't help to take a function and bring it to a national department because they may not also have enough capacity there. So we really need to look at this issue, because we talk about it all the time, capacity of the state. So I'm happy that it's something that is one of the priorities we will be looking at. But I think we must just unpack it, because there is, for instance, a National School of Governance now. Is it producing the necessary results that are going to help us? So we might want to talk to that school and see, you know, who's coming out of that school. Are things changing now that we have the School of Government? Terms of the kind of skills we need. But even the issue of vacancies, we must not take it for granted, because sometimes departments don't perform because they don't fill posts. Or it takes a year to fill one post, or 2 years. It's a big problem. So I want to suggest that those things must come into our area of work. I know maybe you didn't want to put all the details, but I just also don't want it to slip away, so that when the departments come here, we are only worried about whether HOD was assessed. I think we have a much bigger problem than that. Yes, they must be assessed, they must assess other SMS people, but at the end of the day, do we have the state that has the capacity to deliver a better life for all, transform society? And we really need to understand that. So I thought, let me add that one, so that it does not fall within the cracks and then we go on and then we miss it. Is that fine if we add that? Yeah. You want to say something?
Chairperson, I was just thinking, still on the issue of vacancies, you know, that one is very interesting, because, I mean, Pelelani can affirm that as we are going through the adjustments budget process, what we normally find is that departments, they take the budget that was meant for filling vacancies and they shift it elsewhere. They just buy desks, they die, you know, all those things. So it's very interesting, because at the start of the year, they say we need so much budget to fill vacancies. But come the middle of the year, that money is taken to fund things that are insignificant. So that one, I thought it would be interesting during the adjustment budget process.
Okay, we'll have to watch that, because we want them to have capacity. Vacancies must be filled, and we must be very strict. We must give time frames and say this or no longer. We can't have, you know, vacancies going on and on and on, and then we are not able to deliver. Honourable Sheikh Ima.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just wonder, I see we have a top-to-bottom approach, and I'm just wondering whether a lot more emphasis should also not be put on from the bottom to the top, in terms of local government, in terms of councils, in terms of their responsibility to the community, in terms of them comparing the IDP to what they are delivering. How often do they have meetings with their community to see what their challenges are and things? So I was wondering whether we should basically include that so that we make councillors and people at local government a lot more responsible, because otherwise what is happening is we're going from top, we're going to province, expecting responses from the municipalities, but we're not going lower down. And councillors more often than not, I can tell you, meet people once in 5 years when it's election time. So I was wondering whether we should also consider from the bottom to the top, at every level, that they should be accountable at all given times. Thank you.
I'm told that the select committee is meant to, that's their area of jurisdiction, but I think when we engage with COPTA, we can raise some of the issues later to local government. And at some point, we can have joint meetings, as is suggested, with the select committee and the NCOP, and impress upon them to go much deeper into those issues of local government. I'm sure the committee will agree with that. Honorable Shopestel, you want to come back? Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on the observation that, you know, year in, year out, the Auditor General complains about lack of consequence for wrongdoing. And my observation is that every year we start the year as if we are all newborn. There were no sins last year. I am afraid, because now we don't have too much money anymore as a country, that those that have taken from the state must be followed up, seriously so. Money of the state must come back to the state. That is my... I've just forgotten, the accountants will remind me, how many years must the records of the state be kept? I was the bookkeeper. I know my clients had to keep the records for 5 years, but for the state, I know it goes much better. I know in municipalities, there are people who have ripped municipalities and provinces. And my suggestion is that we should follow up on those monies. You know, the people have shown that they've built bridges where there are no bridges, hospitals where there are no hospitals. We should follow up who actually misappropriated the money and get that money back into the coffers of the state. That is one. We must not just look at this year and forget yesterday. And the other one is the issue on the industrial policy that I mentioned. And I want to remind ourselves that we said this year, the president said, there must be a radical change, not work as usual. What happened last year is not... it's not my worry. What the mind said last year is not my worry. This year, they won't say that to us. They have to change. We are in charge of this country. They have to do what we say they must do. They must beneficiate. Not only beneficiate, but they must go on to fabricate. That, and if we call IGT to come and say those things, they will come out with policies to say you can take away maybe 70% of coal, but 30% must be here at home for manufacturing. That is what I'm talking about. And it is crucial that we call them. What they said last year, I know they used to do those things. They were wrong. This year, they have to do things differently.
But they call themselves DTI. DTI. I like IDT as well. Honorable McLaughlin.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just with reference to what Honorable Sheikh Imam was saying earlier, I know from personal experience it's all very well having political will, but to transfer and translate political will into administrative action is sometimes very difficult, because if you sit in a meeting, the HOD, and you ask him, now, what's happened about that problem? He says, no, it's sorted out. And if you actually go and look, you'll see nothing's happened. And then you ask, but nothing's happened, and And he says, oh, no, but my manager told me it was sorted out. And that kind of accountability goes all the way down the line. People are inclined to tell their seniors what the senior wants to hear rather than what the facts are. So it's important to, as you say, start from the bottom and work up, but you know, you need to look at both sides of the coin, the political side as well as the administrative side, because the two must talk the same language. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable...
Yes, I agree with the Honourable Member, but I also think, you know, we need to look at what the President has said. Let the fourth Parliament be different from the other four, and let there be drastic changes, let there be service delivery. So maybe we should start making this issue of political and administrative come together. But the other challenge that I seem to have, Honourable Chair, is we talk about capacity. We seem to have a lot of capacity at local government that we don't use. Because I give you a good example, if you take a deputy mayor of a municipality, he is also a member of a political party. He is never in the school. The teacher is never in the school to teach those kids. You more often than not find that he's sitting in political meetings and he's not at the school. Three-quarters of the year he's never there. He's getting paid there, he's getting paid there. Who is suffering service delivery at the moment? The children don't have a teacher, don't have a deputy mayor, don't have a principal, don't have a deputy principal. So it's a serious problem. I think it's also something that we need to look on the long term, whether it works for somebody to have two employments, because you're not going to do justice to one of them. And as a result, that's why we also suffer. Thank you.
One of the departments that we want to invite to come and engage with us is COCTA. So we will be able to raise these issues, not just issues of infrastructure. So I think we'll have an opportunity. Our members happy that we can adopt this document with minor amendments that we have suggested as our guide to our work. Agreed? Agreed. We are almost at 12 o'clock, so let's try and conclude. Just two things quickly. The conference in Sun City, have people responded, those who are interested to go? No. Okay, I'm told the whole committee wants to go to Sun City. That's good. I don't know if the chair will agree to fund all of us. We will put in the application today. We have already. Okay. We are waiting for the approval. So you will be informed so you are able to attend. Just one quick thing. On your draft program, if you still have it, I don't know if you still have the draft program. We are going to cancel the meeting on Tuesday. If you look at that draft program, it will say briefing by the PICC, Presidential Infrastructure Commission. I've had a discussion with the minister, and we are looking at a better way of managing that because their work cuts across almost all departments and they have been called by many departments. So we are going to discuss with the House Chair to find a mechanism where they are able to present perhaps in some kind of a joint committee or something. So cancel it for now. The only problem is that I don't know if we'll have enough time to invite a substitute there because it's Tuesday next week. We'll see. If we don't find a substitute, we'll see what we do on that day. If we had time, I would have said we should put COCTA there. But they might say short notice. Leave it with us, but I just thought you should know that
we're going to cancel that engagement with the PICC. The rest will stand as it is until we, if we have indication that there are changes, we will change that. I've noticed that we may not have put in health anywhere there, so we're going to have to look into that. I think if you look at some of our concern with hospital revitalization program, we will need to bring, so we need to bring Copter Health onto our program. We'll see where we can make some changes, but they need to come on board. In fact, what we may do, instead of calling Public Works can come with the others. When we call education infrastructure, we call Public Works as well, rather than calling them. Because in most cases, what those government departments that are doing infrastructure, Public Works is their agent. So I'll rather say, instead of saying Public Works, we put another department there. But for all those departments that we want to engage with them on infrastructure, we call Public Works as well. There was also a suggestion that it might be helpful when we engage on those infrastructure projects that we invite National Treasury. So we invite the relevant portfolio committee, Public Works, and National Treasury. So there is no escape. All in one room, so people can't say, no, it's Public Works. Or Public Works says, no, no, the money is at National Treasury. Will members agree with that approach? That we put everybody in one room. Honorable Shopestone.
To see if I'm thinking correctly, that Public Works is just an implementing agent for other departments. And when we call them to talk about which one or about all the things that they have. Because if we call them about building a crash, I think we should call social department, social development as well.
That's the point we are making, that let's not call Public Works. But when we call education on school infrastructure, we invite Public Works. When we call health on building hospitals, we invite Public Works. So Public Works will come many times, but relevant, so that we don't just call them and talk about everything under the sun. Rather, we are focused, so that's what we will do. Okay, that's the program. So we will see what we how we change things around and resend the program to members. Just also to say that the representatives of Treasury were raising doubt whether we can get the second quarter report before the medium-term budget policy statement, because normally your quarterly reports come at the end of the month, so it will come end of September. By the time it hits National Treasury consolidation, it will probably be the 15th of October. So by the time it reaches us, it's probably end of October. And by that time, would have gone through the medium-term budget policy statement. So just to say to members, don't lower your expectations. You won't get that report before the end of it. It would have been useful to see second quarter expenditure as we engage with the MTBPS, but it may not be possible because of the way the system is designed. We'll have to look at it for the future in terms of how we want to reform the processes, because it always makes sense that before you reallocate, even if it's indicative allocation, you already look at the second quarter expenditure. But in this case, we won't have that report. And it's the way the system is designed that they come too close to each other. But we don't have to discuss it today. That's what is important to know. Honorable Shaw, so, Honorable Sikh will follow.
No, thank you, Chair. I remember when we talked about that, we even said the Office of the Accountant General generates information on a monthly basis. Can't we have the information up to the end of August? Because that may give us some.
We probably can, but it will just be figures. I don't know how useful they'll be. They'll just throw you with figures that may... But let's look at them. I'll ask the team to check with National Treasury if it's useful information that can help us find anything.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. May I respectfully request, because we've been spoiled for information, that regarding the program, we get the information as soon as possible if there's going to be anything on Tuesday, because we come from out of town.
I think it's too late. My sense is that we'll let go. I think to try and invite somebody tomorrow for Tuesday. Yeah, just do your constituency work, and then I'm sure you are dying to do that. Don't sleep. Do constituency work. Just last issue announcement from my side. There is a report there. What CEP was presented is also in the form of a report. Can we endorse it? I think it's the same thing, but it was just, he did it in a PowerPoint presentation. Honorable Manu? There are some amendments. Are the people who are noted who are not there? Yeah. They'll look at the register and make sure that the record is accurate. Can I suggest that if members, if you read it, you'll find that there's something inaccurate, just make a note. When we meet again, we can always correct it, but it's a fair presentation of our work, and we'll attach it with other documents that have been presented. So it is adopted. Yeah. And then we will just change, I think what Honorable Manana is saying, make sure that the information is accurate, including who was present, who was not. But otherwise, it's a fair reflection. Somebody move for adoption?
I move.
Or you are moving with amendments. Second, Honorable Fick. Second, thank you very much. Lastly, Honorable Members, just an announcement. Last time there were Honorable Members who were complaining that we give them too many documents and they don't have bags to carry them. I spoke to someone who said they can give us bags. Now, there's one problem with that which I need to sort out. I don't know if you know a company called Deloitte and Touche, an accounting firm. They said they can give all of us, they can buy those bags for us. The only problem is that they then said to me, can they do branding on the bags? And I was a bit uncomfortable. I don't want you to go around Parliament carrying bags written Deloitte and Touche. So I want to go back to negotiate that. I don't think it will be right for honorable members to be advertising the company. Maybe if they want to sell themselves, they can rather make magazines and put them in the bags for us to read, something like that. So if you agree, I'll go back and negotiate with them. That branding won't work. If they agree, then we'll take the bags. But if they insist on branding, then we leave them. things of preference.
You think that preparing is not a problem?
No. I'm saying that one of you suggested to put the minimum to COVID. They may perhaps, in a small corner, put their local, despite their but at least, the institution,
okay, I'll go back and negotiate. Lastly, on announcements, the team has done an analysis of the first quarter report in terms of the departments that we went to invite to engage with. I'll ask them to circulate it so we can look at it, so that by the time we engage with the department, we have more information. So you can use that Tuesday morning to read those documents. But Anna, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.